Let's pray together as we start. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God that helps us to know Jesus as our Savior, gives us eternal life when we believe, and also helps us to practically live out this new life we have in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the mothers that you've given to us that followed you. We just pray that we'll be men and women of God who love you with all of our souls, with everything that is about us, so that we'll be prepared for heaven and other people will see Jesus in us. Give us insight today as we read the Word of God, this perfect book, the Bible that you've given to us, and try to figure out what it means and how to apply it to our lives personally. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, and I've entitled this little talk today, Being Someone Beautiful for God. Being Someone Beautiful for God. Verse 10 says, A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more, far more, than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes clothing for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also. And he praises her, and he says, Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Being someone beautiful for God. Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a day to honor our mothers. Today, how would you describe a godly mother? I'd like for you to take a moment and write down a couple ways that you would describe her. So grab a hold of a piece of paper and a pencil. Every pew has a pencil. And just write down a couple things that you would say about a godly mother. Good. Got it? All right, we'll continue on. This passage that I read, Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31 is an acrostic poem in Hebrew. So in Hebrew, there are 22 verses in this passage, and each begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It was especially designed that way so that those who read it could remember it and memorize it. The author is the Queen Mother. Speaking to her son, she refers to him as Lemuel. Lemuel means devotion, devoted to the Lord. You know, there's no king named Lemuel in the Bible record. So this king was probably Solomon. We don't know 100% sure that that's who it was, but we kind of can guess it was Solomon. And the name Lemuel is perhaps a pet name that Bathsheba used privately to refer to Solomon, her son. We don't know that either for sure, but we're kind of guessing that could be. So these verses are advice to her son to help him to value and respect godly women and to choose the right one to be queen. These words describe a woman who honors God by seeking God in everything and who trusts God wholeheartedly. You know, there are tons of jewels weaved into these verses. You could have 22 points to this sermon, but we've kind of narrowed it down to only 8. We'll take just a peek at a few of those things that are in this chapter today. And I'll warn you ahead of time that a godly woman has more to offer than just a pretty face. So today let's look at 8 characteristics of a Proverbs 31 woman. 8 characteristics of a Proverbs 31 woman. First of all, she is valuable or noble. Look at verses 10 through 12. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So Bathsheba begins her description with a rhetorical question. Who can find a wife of noble character? The point is, she is hard to find. She's out there, but she's hard to find. She's rare. But once she is found, she's a real treasure. And the word for noble is hayel in Hebrew, and also it's found in Proverbs 12:4, where it describes this type of woman as her husband's crown and of great value. And this lady is kind of like the plunder and spoils of war. Her husband's confidence in her is complete, and she's an asset and not a liability to him. You had Gary read from the book of Ruth today, and that is because the book of Ruth describes Ruth as a woman of noble character. It's the only woman in the Old Testament described as having a noble character that agrees with Proverbs 31. So Ruth, the book of Ruth, fleshes out for us what a Proverbs 31 woman should look like practically. Ruth was faithful to Naomi in spite of great tragedy. She worked hard. She trusted God. She said to her mother-in-law, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." Where can we find a person like that? Very rarely will we find a person like that, a noble lady like Ruth. Because she is valuable, she's noble, she's a princess, noble. Think nobility, she's a princess. I hope that you treat your wife like your princess. I've got a princess that I take care of, and she is wonderful. She is a princess. She is noble. Secondly, she is eager to help. Look at verses 13 through 16. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So she's eager to help. Notice all the active verbs in these three verses. She selects. She works. She brings. She gets up. She considers. She buys. She plants. Man, oh man, this lady works. And not only does she work, but she enjoys her work. And I think she's the type of person who's so looking forward to doing this that it's hard for her to sleep because she's so eager and because she doesn't want to miss an opportunity or a moment that she can work and help her family. The godly lady here describes a lady who enjoys working with her hands, a lady who enjoys working with her mind, a lady who enjoys working with her physical strength in order to bless her household. She delights in these things. She is not forced to do these things. She does them simply because she wants to, because she desires to do them, like Ruth did in Boaz's fields, gleaning in the field behind the gleaners. Have you ever been out when they harvest wheat or barley? Is it a cool day when they do that? No, it's hot. You're covered with sweat. And the sun, you know, doesn't give up. And she was out there doing that all day. Boaz and the worker said she's been out here all day. She does it every day, all day. She is eager to help. Thirdly, she's energetic. Look at verses 17 through 19. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds a distaff and grasps a spindle with her fingers. So she's energetic. She is a vigorous and tireless worker. I think this passage shows us that she sheds serious sweat. Of course, we don't say ladies sweat, they perspire, right? She perspires a lot. That's the way, because she's so eager to help her family. And she even burns midnight oil. And her efforts are all profitable. I think from this passage we can see that great women keep getting better. She takes her role seriously and strives to be the best. Her productivity is exceptional. She strives for excellence. She doesn't rise slowly and go just throughout another day, but instead rises with a new lease on life and listens and intends to be better than she was yesterday. Listen to what Boaz and Ruth said to each other in what Gary told us and Gary read for us. Boaz said to Ruth, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done." He knew that all he had done for Naomi, I mean, a long time now, how she had worked, and she had stuck with Naomi. "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And Ruth replied to Boaz as he praised her, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord." I continue, it's continuing tense here. It's not, oh yeah, I've done that, I can kind of rest now, you've seen it. No, may I continue to find favor in your eyes. She continued to get better at what she was doing. Fourth characteristic, she is generous. Look at verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor, and extends her hands to the needy. So she gives to the poor. She opens, literally it says, she opens her palms to the poor. And these are the same palms Mine's still covered a little bit with new cow manure that I spread yesterday, so you can kind of see the stuff on my hands, but probably her hands were that way too. She opened her palms to the poor. From the same hand that diligently worked and did all this stuff that she did every day, she also gave money to the poor. It's not the hand of a lazy woman. She's generous and she's active. She's like Dorcas in Acts chapter 9, who is always doing good and helping the poor. She is full of good works and full of doing good things for people. She was not just home-centric, but she loves her neighbors as well. And she's not stingy with her time nor her money. Wow, what a lady. She is generous. Fifthly, she is ever prepared. Look at verses 21 through 24. When it snows, she has no fear for her household. For all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. So she is ever prepared. She's always prepared. Is your mom like that? I mean, if I needed a button or I needed a needle or something, I always go to my mom and she goes, oh yeah, I have one of these in my purse here. She was always prepared for whatever her boys got into. She was always ready for that. And that's how this lady is described. Cold weather does not take her by surprise. And she doesn't panic. And she spares no cost in protecting her family from the cold. So she is prepared for whatever, because she plans ahead. And she doesn't procrastinate. She doesn't wait till the last minute to do things. And she's never in the utter depths of despair, because she has the wisdom to discern what is coming ahead. And she plans for that. Sixthly, according to verse 25, she is strong. Verse 25 says this, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. So she is strong, according to verse 25. She's no weakling. She laughs at the future, and her world is bigger than the immediate demands of today. Her clothing is mentioned here to show that her appearance is one of strength and dignity. She can face the future with confidence. The book of Proverbs talks about ants and how they do, how they work. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. She is strong. She's prepared. Seventhly, she is wise. Look at 26 through 29. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things. There's that word again, noble. But you surpass them all. So this noble woman is praised for her wisdom and faithful instruction. She teaches well. So she probably had other ladies who worked with her, and certainly she had children that would work with her, so she would teach them well. She uses good, practical, common sense in her discussions with those that are around her. And she knows how to put good information to work. She is positive and enjoys her role in life. So she's both wise and kind in her advice. There was a lady in the New Testament named Priscilla, who was a fellow worker of the Apostle Paul, and she had a husband named Aquila. And that's the way she was for her husband. You know, at the beginning of the book of Acts, it talks about Aquila and Priscilla. But as they ministered together, towards the end of the book of Acts, it's Priscilla and Aquila, because of the way God had gifted her in order to be able to advise and help people come to know Jesus and learn to grow, be like Jesus. Her and her husband worked with the Apostle Paul in all kinds of home churches in Corinth and Ephesus, and they were also in Rome. And she even worked with her husband to teach a guy named Apollos the full message about Jesus. But her words, according to this passage, reinforce and build her reputation. Ephesians 4:29 describes how she talks. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's Ephesians 4:29. So this noble woman is wise. And finally, she is godly. Look at verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This lady's big secret is that she has a godly character. She is physically charming and cute, but those qualities don't last. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. On top of all these things, all these descriptions of a noble woman in chapter 31, is that the godly woman fears the Lord. She holds God in the highest regard. She maintains a close relationship with God by reading His Word, by praying, by spending time with God's people, by sharing her faith in Christ with others. She maintains a close relationship with God all of her life, because this is a God who gave her life. This is a God who gave her health. This is a God who formed her personality. This is a God who gifted her with a husband. This is a God who gave her children. This is a God who gave her ideas. This is a God who gave her her creativity. This is a God who gave her her determination to excel and to obey God in every area of her life. And you know, as you look through this passage, you start to think after a while, you know, this lady that's described here looks a lot like Jesus, because she is imitating the Bible. She is imitating what God has told us that we should be like. So let's go back to the first question that Bathsheba writes for us, and that is, so who can find a woman like that? She's rare, she's valuable, and special indeed. So how did you describe a godly mother as we started? How did you describe her? You know, being a godly mother doesn't just happen by itself, you know? It's not automatic. Everybody, I mean, ladies can be mothers, but the idea is to be a godly mother. And that doesn't happen by itself. It all starts when a person gives their life to Jesus Christ and accepts Him as their Savior, who repents, says, hey, the things that I was involved in before are wrong, and I want to do right, God, and I want You to help me to do what's right. I want You to help me to obey You in everything that I do. And of course, that work that Christ does in us continues to the day we die. As we get to know God better, our work as fathers or as mothers will get better, because Jesus will become a bigger part of our lives. So let's go back to the initial question, the most important question. Do you know God? You can only know God through knowing Jesus Christ, His Son. That's the way to God, is through Jesus. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you know him personally? Won't be a godly lady, won't be a godly guy, unless you do. That's where it all begins. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for Jesus and how he can come into our lives and make us like God, make us like the scripture that we read, changing us, helping us to be effective for you, helping us to be mature, helping us to be ready for heaven and to serve you for all of eternity in that place. Lord, we just pray that the Word of God will help us to know you, and we won't leave this place, or we won't go away from Christians without praying and receiving him as our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.